This Sunday of the genealogy has something to tell us. We pray this prayer. The priest prays a prayer before the gospel lesson and says, "Enlighten us with thy true light that we may understand thy gospel teachings." And this is a gospel teaching. So what does it mean? I don't know. Other than this, I know one thing. That it reinforces to us, actually two things. That it reinforces for us over and over and over and over again that God really did become a man like you and me, except for sin. And the second thing, that God always fulfills His promises. And we see traced back, we hear of King David, and we hear Abraham, and we know that God promised them that the Messiah would come through their line, through their blood. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was born on December the 25th? Some heads may shake, yes. Others may shake, no. But I'm going to tell you what I think. I believe Jesus was born on December the 25th. And I believe that the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, gives us every indication of that. If we look in the Gospel of St. Luke, in the first chapter, we see a sequence of events that triggers the movement towards the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, coming into the world. And it begins with the conception of Elizabeth by Zacharias after he had completed the temple service. And the scholars that have studied this would indicate that he was of a priestly order and priestly rank, that he would have been serving at the close of the liturgical year of the Jews, and that the new year would have come sometime in September, because the Jews used a lunar calendar. It didn't fall on the same day every year. And we see that even now, right? The feast of the Jewish New Year is called Yom Kippur. And I'm sure that most of you have heard this name before. All right, so that's it. And it says that after that feast and he had completed his duties, that he went home to Elizabeth and that she conceived. And then it says, then in the sixth month that she goes and visits Elizabeth, goes and visits Mary. That Elizabeth goes and visits Mary. And at that time, Gabriel comes to the Virgin Mary and announces that she will conceive and bear a son, and his name will be called Jesus, and that he will save his people from their sins. And so what is this sixth month after September? October, November, December, January, February, March. So the scripture is telling us that the angel Gabriel came and visited her in March. We put that date on there of March the 25th. Why March the 25th? Because March the 25th, on the old Julian calendar, in the time of Jesus Christ, this was the vernal equinox. This was the day of the first day of the spring, the first day of the new life. And so if John the Baptist was conceived in September, and it's marked on our calendar September 23rd, which again, on that old Julian calendar, this was the fall equinox. And so he was born on the summer solstice. He was born on June the 24th, which, on that old Julian calendar, that was the first day of summer. And so if Mary conceived on the spring equinox, then we count that 9 months out and we end up on December the 25th, which was the winter solstice. December the 25th. Now, after many, many years and centuries went by, and it was realized that the Julian calendar was not exactly accurate, and that the times were closer to like December the 21st or 22nd, that date was so entrenched in the culture and in the church, it's like, okay, fine, but we don't want to change that date. So we've retained that date to this year, to even until now. But let's think about this for a second. Could it be that in the autumn of their life, after they had basically lost hope that they would ever have a child, the leaves were falling, so to speak, that John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Savior, would be born, marking that fall of the year, and that the angel Gabriel would come to the Virgin Mary on that day, which is called the first day of spring, the day when the new life begins, and announces to her that the life of the world is now in her womb. Could it be that in the summertime, when we express and receive and enjoy the greatest fruits of our labors from our gardens and from our fields, that the greatest man born of woman would enter into this world? And finally, that on the darkest day of the year, the day when the darkness moves towards the night to such an extent that we would almost say the darkness has overcome the light, that the light of the world, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, would be born into this world on the darkest day of the year to signal the return of light into this world. Not only the light of the sun, but the light of salvation. This is not a mistake. This is God's design. This is God's beauty. This is God's artistry. This is God the Creator speaking to us through the sun and the moon and the stars and the seasons of the year, saying, I made this all. I made it for you. You will hear other theories and explanations, but now you heard mine. And it's not mine. I'm just sharing it with you. Jesus comes to be born in the manger, in the cave, the feeder trough. St. Gregory Palamas, I believe, I'm not sure, says whenever we drive through a poor neighborhood during this time of the year, when we look at the homes, we should think of the baby Jesus in the manger in the cave. We sing in the hymn of this morning, the ninth ode of the canon, the manger, the place where Christ lay, the uncontainable God. The feeder trough for the cattle holds the uncontainable God. Each of us, I believe, has a spiritual manger in our heart, in our innermost being. And at this time of year, we need to prepare that manger to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the uncontainable God. Do you believe it's possible to contain the uncontainable God in your soul? Let me tell you that by virtue of your baptism and chrismation into Christ and by your participation in the Holy Communion, we can become partakers of the uncontainable God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We find for many of us who come from evangelical or Protestant backgrounds, that we can remember growing up in that church, participating in that church, that after the preacher or the pastor gave the sermon, that there would be what's called an altar call. And people would be asked to come forward to receive Jesus Christ into the depths of their soul and to make a public confession of their commitment to Him and to become members of the church. If we ever saw or heard or participated in a Billy Graham crusade, maybe we heard Billy Graham say, I want you to get up out of your seat right now. And I want you to come down. I want you to come down and stand before us today to accept Jesus Christ and to proclaim Him as your Lord and Savior. And maybe we look back on that or think of that with some relief that we don't do that as Orthodox Christians. Or do we? Because what I'm going to ask you to do in just a few moments is I'm going to ask you to file forward and come before the altar of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and for life eternal. You know how it's announced? It's announced like this. With the gifts off of the altar, with the fear of God, with faith and love, draw near. Draw near to what? Draw near to who? To do what? To draw near to Jesus Christ, to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to make public confession that you are His servant, that you are His soldier in His army. Maybe when you come forward to receive the Holy Communion, you don't state your name. You think, well, the priest should know my name. I shouldn't have to say my name. If he was a good pastor, he would know my name. But that's not what the Divine Liturgy says. The Divine Liturgy says that when the community comes forward to receive the body and blood of the Lord, that they state their name as the servant of God, John. What is that? That is my public confession. That is my public declaration that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And when we receive the body and blood of the Lord, we need to believe that it is for our salvation, for forgiveness of sins, for eternal life, for cleansing, and for healing. We just need to mean it. We just need to mean it. How often do we go through the motions mindlessly? Today, let's not do that. Today, let's come forward from the depths of our hearts, proclaiming that we are servants of God, receiving Him for life everlasting, and being renewed and fulfilled in this, and ready to participate in and to celebrate the joy of the nativity of our Lord. O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, come into the depths of our hearts. Come into the depths of our souls. Come into our bodies. And fill all of our body parts with Thy holy and divine love and life everlasting. And help us to live a Christian life, well pleasing to You, bearing witness to the light and love that we have received from You in this fallen and helpless world. For Your name is holy, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.